Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 24th chapter, the Gospel of St. Luke. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I don't have a joke today. Sorry to disappoint you. I think I said them all last week. Yeah, I know. So, but I do have a question. And this is a question I do actually want you to answer, okay? So my question is, where are the places, or when are the times that you experience the presence of God in profound ways? So where are the places, or when are the times that you experience the presence of God in powerful or profound ways? What are some of those ways? Okay, as you're getting ready, close your eyes and go to sleep. Feel that. Okay, that God is listening to your prayers. Nancy, you raised your hand. Right, that calming, peaceful, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes, Vicki. Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. Marilyn. The birth of a baby? Yes. Yes. Pam. Okay, the death of a family member? Yes. Right. the beginnings and the endings and all of life in between and life after is with God. Ruth. Right, that coming to faith and growing in faith when they have had no awareness of that. Yeah, good. Don Paul.
Crossing College Street or Pacific Avenue on foot.
Right, crossing College Street or Pacific Avenue on foot, yes. Yes, we do experience that presence. At least pray for that presence of God in profound ways. Kelsey. When you're praying for others. Yeah. Betty. Oh, yes. Out in creation. There's something about that experience of being in creation that you feel that presence. I mean, you hear that presence of God in the singing birds. It's like heaven's song. Yes. Beauty of creation. Others. Jerry. Right. That's right. It's like, I can't do this. You know, those times of giving up and giving over to God. Yeah. That's what you were going to say. Yeah. Right. Other ways. Yes. Margaret.
My brother passed away in March. And he was a very sick man. The last few days of his life, he wrote his right gift.
One of the other ways that I experience that presence of God is through being creative, you know, like through creating things and art and just that sense of, you know, seeing potential in something and then helping to make that potential happen. Music is another way. Music has a way of touching our hearts and our souls in ways that sometimes words just can't express. You touched on that deep communion that we experience with people. It's a sacred communion of sharing your hearts and your souls over a cup of coffee or around a dinner table. You know, that deep connection. Any others? Well, I happened this past week, a couple themes kept coming back to me in many different ways, and I thought eventually, okay, this is God knocking on my head saying, listen up, Beth. But in the Celtic tradition, there's a concept called thin places. It is not so much a physical place as it is a spiritual place, a holy moment where the boundaries between heaven and earth seem to collapse and become so thin that they touch. It's a space where basically the sacred and the secular come together and meet. The place where we experience a deep sense of God's presence in our everyday world. A thin place is a time where God's presence is so real, so tangible. I mean, you can almost feel it and taste it and hear it and know it. Where we feel connected to that presence of God so profoundly that it is almost as if we are breathing in the very breath of God. As you noted, these thin places are not always beautiful or easy places. Hospital rooms can be thin places. Operating rooms can be thin places. Emergency rooms, jail cells, times of sorrow and grief. A thin place is any place that makes you know in your heart and in your soul that you are in the presence of a very real God. So this concept of thin places has come up a lot this week. And I've discovered that it's really not too different from our Lutheran understanding of sacrament. Okay? The word sacrament comes from two Latin words, the word sacra, which means sacred or holy, and ment, which means things. So sacraments are sacred or holy things. And we experience, we know, the profound presence of God in the waters of baptism and the gift of Holy Communion. And although those are the sacraments in the Lutheran Church, we know that life itself is very sacramental. That God comes to us in through ordinary things and extraordinary ways. We experience this presence of God in our everyday lives, and it's a holy experience, an experience of grace, an experience of peace, an experience of God's love. Those are thin places. Now, the disciples shared this sacramental thin place with Jesus, and they recognized it finally. They were experiencing it as they were walking on the road, but they finally recognized it when Jesus broke the bread with them. They knew something was up. As Jesus was talking to them, they could feel it. They knew it in their heart and in their soul. But they didn't recognize it until Jesus broke the bread. Today we are going to break bread together too. And we know that Christ is present, creating a thin place within us too. And I think that we live life in this thin place. This place where we not only share in Christ's body, but we become this body on earth. I mean, that space becomes so thin that Christ's body, we become it. We share it and we become it. That is the space of incarnation, that space where the Word becomes flesh and truly dwells among us. That place where heaven and earth touch and kiss, if you will. And like a kiss, that thin space is a place of profound love. A love that gives life and breath and hope and promise. A love that knows our potential as people and recreates us and renews us. A love that promises to be with us no matter what else is going on in our lives. It is a love that blesses us. And this happens to us like it did to the disciples. As we're on the road of life, as we're journeying through all of what life has to offer. And this thin place is not the destination. It is the journey of faith, the journey of trusting that no matter what is going on in our lives, that God really is present, that God is with us. That we can experience the sacred, that we can indeed discover the divine, the promise that God is always with us. Thomas Merton, who is a Trappist monk and mystic, writes, "Life is this simple. We are living in a world that is absolutely transparent, and God is shining through all the time. This is not just a fable or a nice story. It is true. If we abandon ourselves to God and forget ourselves, we see it sometimes. and we see it maybe frequently. God shows God's self everywhere, in everything, in people and in things, in nature and in events. It becomes very obvious that God is everywhere and in everything, and we cannot be without God. The only thing is that we don't see it. Then he goes on to share one of his experiences of a thin place. One afternoon in Louisville, on the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people, that they were mine and I was theirs, that we could not be alien to one another even though we were total strangers. I have the immense joy of being human, a member of the race in which God himself became incarnate. This is who we really are. If only everybody would understand this. But it cannot be explained. There is no way of convincing people that they are walking around shining like the sun. In that moment, for Thomas Merton, the veil between heaven and earth was lifted, and he found himself in one of those sacred, thin places, experiencing that holy reality that we are truly all connected as children of God, that we are connected with God and with each other, that we're connected in love. And that love is not just any love, but God's love. So today, this is my prayer. My prayer is that you will experience this thin space in which we all live. That you will open your eyes, that you will open your hearts to the place where that line between the sacred and the ordinary are so very thin. So thin that the ordinary becomes sacred, and the sacred becomes ordinary. So thin that you can feel like you're breathing in that very life-giving breath of God. The breath of God who loves us and is always with us. And my prayer is that you not only experience this thin space, but that you actually live it, that you become it, that you become this thin space in our world, holy and sacred, full of grace, extraordinarily ordinary. That through you, people would breathe in that life-giving and renewing breath of God. That through you, people would experience God's grace and the presence of Christ. We know that the risen Christ reveals himself to us, to ordinary people like you and like me, again and again and again and again and again, to empower us to live lives of extraordinary grace. And as you already know, we don't have to have it all figured out to live and be this thin place of grace. There's a poem that Jan Richardson wrote called Blessings in the Chaos, and I liked it so much. So I want to share it with you because I think it brings it all home in powerful ways. To all that is chaotic in you, let there come silence. Let there be a calming of the clamoring, a stilling of the voices that have laid their claim on you, that have made their home in you, that go with you even to the holy places, but will not let you rest, will not let you hear your life with wholeness or feel the grace that fashioned you. Let what distracts you cease. Let what divides you cease. Let there come an end to what diminishes and demeans. And let depart all that keeps you in its cage. Let there be an opening into the quiet that lies beneath the chaos, where you find the peace you did not think possible, and see what shimmers within the storm. What shimmers within the storm is truly holy. It is sacred. It is a thin place. It is the very presence of the risen Christ among us, loving us, and giving us new life each and every day. Amen.